Welcome to Earth Matters on Gila Members Community Radio, KURU, at 89.1 FM, the show that brings you in-depth coverage of local, regional, and national environmental issues. I'm Donna Stevens, the Executive Director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, a local watershed protection nonprofit, and I'm your host for today's show. Today we're going to talk about the Gila River. Joining me here in the studio is Allison Civic, the Executive Director of Gila Resources Information Project and the Gila Conservation Coalition, and also my co-host here on Earth Matters. We've talked about the Gila River quite a bit because it's a really huge issue here, and the details keep changing. And lately there's been some really interesting new developments. Welcome, Allison.
Good morning, Donna.
So I wondered if you could start out by giving us some background before we talk about some of the more technical stuff like the Joint Powers Agreement.
So let's review where we are. As most people know, this past November, the Interstate Stream Commission voted to move forward with planning for a New Mexico unit or a Gila River diversion, a project to develop potentially 14,000 acre feet of Gila River water. And they sent the letter notifying the secretary that they wanted to move forward. That started the clock ticking. This year in 2015, the Interstate Stream Commission must do work to put together the New Mexico Unit Agreement, which must be signed by November 24th of this year. And there are two elements that the ISC has been working on. The first is establishing the New Mexico CAP entity. CAP, C-A-P, stands for the Central Arizona Project, because this Gila River diversion becomes part of the Central Arizona Project. If we, the state of New Mexico, choose to develop this water, the whole project becomes part of the Central Arizona Project. So that's why it's called New Mexico CAP Entity. And the New Mexico CAP Entity is responsible for planning for the New Mexico unit, design, build, operate, and maintain the New Mexico unit. All this is under, was laid out in the Arizona Water Settlements Act in 2004. The CAP entity can do all four of those things or any combination of those four things. But we've heard all along from folks locally in the ISC that, you know, people want to be responsible for all four. So design, build, operate, maintain the New Mexico unit. So establishing the CAP entity, that's one part of this New Mexico unit agreement that has to get established now, has to be incorporated into the New Mexico Unit Agreement. The second thing is the New Mexico Unit Description. And so that's the second thing that has to go into the Unit Agreement. So we're in this process right now of working out the details. There's a joint powers agreement that is trying to lay out the groundwork and the rules, so to speak, for the New Mexico CAP entity. So that we're kind of in the middle of that process right now.
And who would the joint powers agreement be between?
We're not sure yet, but originally the Gila San Francisco Water Commission wanted to be the New Mexico CAP entity. But then all the lawyers got involved and realized, well, the Gila San Francisco Water Commission, because it is not a political subdivision of the state, it technically can't be the CAP entity.
And who makes up the Gila San Francisco Water Commission?
Okay, the Gila San Francisco Water Commission is comprised of the four counties of southwestern New Mexico, so Grant, Luna, Hidalgo, Catron counties, and then all the municipalities in southwestern New Mexico, except for Silver City. So that means, so Silver City's not part of it, but we've got Reserve, Hurley, Santa Clara, Baird, Deming, Lordsburg, and then Soil and Water Conservation Districts. I believe it's 18 or 19. Oh, also the Gila Basin Irrigation Commission. But that's not a political subdivision of the state either. So, you know, so they're ditches, soil and water conservation districts. So 18, 19 or so entities that form the Gila San Francisco Water Commission. So
okay.
The Gila San Francisco Water Commission wanted to be the CAP entity, and requested that of the ISC. But again, the attorney said that wasn't possible. So we have now the process that is happening right now is the local governmental jurisdictions have to sign on to the JPA to become part of the CAP entity. So the CAP entity would be comprised of the individual governmental entities, if that makes sense. So it's not, it won't be the Gila San Francisco, just one entity. So, and also the ISC will be part of the, they've already said they're going to sign on.
The ISC being the Interstate Stream Commission?
Right, the Interstate Stream Commission as a non-voting member. So it's the ISC as a non-voting member, and then anybody else who wants to sign on here from southwestern New Mexico.
Okay. So all these entities right now, what do they have to do in order to be part of the CAP entity?
So they need to pass resolutions to basically agree to sign on to this joint powers agreement. And we'll get into some of this, I believe. The schedule's been delayed, but right now, all of the entities that want to sign on have to pass resolutions by July 3rd. That schedule has slipped. It was supposed to be June 9th or the 11th, but it slipped by a month because there's been a lot of controversy. So I'm sure we'll talk about that. But right now, these local governmental entities will have to pass resolutions that basically say, we want to be a signatory to the Joint Powers Agreement. And that has to happen by July 3rd.
So we'll talk a lot about the Joint Powers Agreement in this hour because that's it's a really interesting document. But I wanted to go back to something you said a little earlier about the description of the New Mexico unit. What is the description of the New Mexico unit, which is the diversion?
Okay, I'm going to pull out my copy here. What was passed out by the ISC, I don't know, a month or so ago at meetings, really is everything but the kitchen sink that has been talked about for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So we've been engaged in this 10-year-long planning process. I know a lot of our listeners out there have attended a lot of these meetings, probably reviewed documents. I mean, it's been going on for a very long time. But even after all of the planning and all the $5 million that's been spent on all of the engineering studies, et cetera, the New Mexico unit project description has no concrete description of what the New Mexico unit is. It's essentially everything that's ever been analyzed. So we've got a point of diversion. One or more points of diversion will be located on the Gila River between Turkey Creek Confluence and the Mongoose Creek Confluence in Grant County. Other points of diversion may be considered on tributaries of the Gila River, including the San Francisco River. So even after all of these reports and the appraisal level report that the BOR did, they still haven't fine-tuned where the diversion point of diversion is going to be. Conveyance, again, could be pumped or conveyed by gravity to storage in one or more reservoirs. Reservoirs could be Spar, Wynn, Pope, Greenwood, Sycamore Canyons, or other suitable reservoir sites outside of the Gila River Basin may be considered. So here we are, weeks away from basically signing our local governments, signing up for to become part of the CAP entity, and after 10 years of planning, we still don't know what the New Mexico unit is. This description is vague. It could be anything. We still don't know. And we know that the diversion, diversion project, piping water to Deming, that's a $1 billion project when you, over the life of the project, when you look at construction costs, exchange costs, financing, debt, everything that it would take to pull off that project, that's $1 billion. The federal subsidy is only $100 million. We have potentially a $900 million shortfall. Who is going to pay for that? How are we going to pay for it? Again, there's so much here that's still unknown, and we're weeks away from signing this joint powers agreement where, you know, people are going to essentially agree to pay for this project, and we still don't know what it is.
And these entities that make up the Gila San Francisco Water Commission are actually considering joining on to the Joint Powers Agreement and becoming part of the CAP entity, and they don't know what they're signing up for. Is that what you're saying?
That is what I'm saying. And you know, we've heard at various meetings over the last month that most all of the entities that are members of the Gila San Francisco Water Commission are wanting to sign on. So, you know, it just befuddles me why. I mean, I think, Donna, you said it very well at one of the public meetings that, you know, it's really signing a blank check. That's really what's happening here.
And I would venture to guess that all those people who represent these entities they're probably pretty fiscally conservative, and certainly in their own finances, personal finances, they would be, but they're going to sign a blank check?
Yeah. And the sad thing is commit all of us, taxpayers, residents here in southwestern New Mexico to sign on to a project that, you know, is not the most fiscally prudent way to approach our water, long-term water needs here in the southwest corner of the state.
What are some of the more fiscally responsible ways to meet our water needs here?
Well, as many people know, there were 15 projects that were looked at in the last few years under the AWSA planning process. Three were diversion, 12 were non-diversion. And these non-diversion projects included municipal conservation, agricultural conservation, effluent reuse, watershed restoration, sustainable groundwater management, improving our water distribution systems. Those projects taken together represent the priorities of stakeholders around the southwestern New Mexico area. They can be implemented for a fraction of the cost of a diversion project and meet our long-term needs. So that, taken as a whole, the non-diversion alternatives represent a more common sense, fiscally prudent way to approach our long-term water needs.
Well, we'll be right back after a break, and we'll talk some more about the Gila River diversion issue, so stay with us, please. Welcome back to Earth Matters here on KURU 89.1 FM. This is Donna Stevens, the director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and your host for today's program. My guest today is my co-host, Allison Civic, and she's also the executive director of the Gila Resources Information Project and the Gila Conservation Coalition. She's a very busy person. Allison, we were talking before the break about the Gila River, the potential diversion on the Gila River, and what's going on today. And we were talking about the joint powers agreement that entities in southwest New Mexico are considering signing on to. And I wanted to ask you, what is so bad about the joint powers agreement?
Well, we touched on this a little bit in the first segment, but essentially, the parties that sign on to the JPA and become part of the New Mexico CAP entity, they agree to provide financial support to plan, design, construct, operate, and maintain the New Mexico unit.
And you're reading right off of the agreement here.
I am.
Yes.
And it says, including, quote, including without limitation, the issuance of bonds, the levy of taxes, and the assessment of user fees. Now, for those of you who followed the back and forth over the last few months over this JPA, we were all making comment that, you know, they're going to be able to issue bonds, levy taxes, assess user fees. And the Gila San Francisco Water Commission attorney said, no, we took that out. We took that out. And then we said, well, then how are you going to pay for the thing? Anyway, it's back in the JPA. And basically saying that the parties agree that they will provide financial support and as they determine appropriate, and they will vote by a two-thirds majority vote of the parties to how they're going to plan and finance. So this is very much a concern because What this means is when they sign onto the JPA, which is going to happen within the next month, few weeks, really, they are committing themselves. They are essentially signing on the bottom line, and they're saying, this is how we're going to finance the New Mexico unit. We're going to issue bonds, potentially levy taxes, assess user fees to pay for it.
So issuing bonds and levying taxes, doesn't that mean that you and me are going to be paying for this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do we have a choice? Will it be a vote?
You know, that remains to be seen. I would think that the taxpayers here in Grant County and the other counties in southwestern New Mexico would have a choice. And also the choice is right now to make sure that county commissioners understand what they are undertaking here. And that is a huge concern to me because, you know, what I've seen really is, at least in these public meetings, some of these fundamental questions have not been asked. And folks can go to COOT, Community Access Television for Silver City. You can go and watch the proceedings from these meetings. And I believe it's very disconcerting to see that fundamental basic questions and discussions are not taking place at those meetings. The public is raising legitimate concerns of cost, of how are we going to pay, is it going to be affordable, who pays, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just flat out not being discussed in the meetings. And that's a huge concern. And one of the things that was brought up at the last meeting from a public member, Claudia, I can't think of her last name right now, but, you know, she went out and did some of her own research and found that we have a 23.5% poverty rate in the four counties in southwestern New Mexico. How is this going to affect low-income people here in Grant County, and quite frankly, the other counties in our corner of the state? Those of you who've been following what's been happening with Grant County collection of property taxes know that 16% of property owners in Grant County did not pay their property taxes and are delinquent on their property taxes. Mm-hmm. A lot of that could be people cannot pay. Well, what happens if you assess a fee on property owners to pay for a $1 billion Gila River diversion project and people can't pay? Well, it used to be you would lose your property, but apparently that doesn't happen anymore. That happened in the 70s. But they put a lien on your property if you don't pay your assessments or your property taxes. So this project has a huge potential to affect everybody here in southwestern New Mexico, but really also affect, you know, low-income property owners. And this has huge economic impacts, I believe, to the citizens in our area.
And isn't it true that it could have such a big impact on people, say, in Grant County, and those people might not even benefit from that water?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. What is the New Mexico unit? Who is the water going to go to?
Mm-hmm.
And how are they going to decide who pays for it? We don't know. We have no idea at this point. And again, it just goes back to signing on the bottom line here, committing to paying for a project when you have no idea if you're going to benefit from it and what the cost is going to be and what you will be responsible for. So,
and it's the county commissioners who make this decision?
All of the governmental entities that choose to sign on to the joint powers agreement that establishes the New Mexico CAP entity, there's a requirement in the JPA that they have to go back and get a resolution from their governmental entities saying that, yes, we agree to the JPA. So they are agreeing to a whole bunch of things that are laid out in the JPA, and we can talk more about some of the other things that they're agreeing to. But the, you know, the big thing here is the idea of basically saying we agree to fund the project. and fund the shortfall. So there's another thing in here that basically says the state of New Mexico and the ISC are only responsible for reimbursing the New Mexico CAP entity for the amount of money that's in the New Mexico Unit Fund. So for people who don't know what the New Mexico Unit Fund is, let me just take a step back and just say the New Mexico Unit Fund is basically an account, a state of New Mexico account that accepts all of the funding from the federal government that has been provided to the state of New Mexico for under the Arizona Water Settlements Act, which is $66 million. And that money's already been coming to the state. It's been used for some of the planning. So the state of New Mexico essentially is saying, once that money's gone, that's it. We have no other obligation to pay, to reimburse costs associated with the New Mexico unit. Well, the subsidy that we're getting, that the state is getting from the federal government, is only $100 million. Well, if we're talking about a $1 billion Gila diversion project, where is the $900 million going to come from? Who is going to pay $900 million, especially for a project that will not, and we can talk about this, but is not going to yield much water? I mean, that's another whole technical debate in terms of how much net yield is really going to come from, you know, a Gila River diversion project. Is this project even technically feasible? The geotech work has not even been completed yet to know if the reservoirs and the reservoir dams can hold water or if it will all just seep out into the ground. So are we going to pay $1 billion for a project to divert water and stick it in a storage facility and just let it seep back into the ground? Again, we're weeks away from signing on to this project, and the fundamental questions have not been answered about cost, but the technical feasibility is another whole issue that hasn't been answered.
We could spend a whole hour on that.
We could do another whole show on that, which we won't.
Well, to go back to something you said earlier, right before the break, you were talking about non-diversion alternatives and how these are projects that have been proposed by local stakeholders. And it seems to me that in the Joint Powers Agreement, or JPA, that the signatories have to commit to a diversion project only, and that means no funding for these non-diversion alternatives that some of them actually propose. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, that's right. So that's another big deal with this JPA, is everybody has to agree that all the money from here on out goes to design, build, operate, and maintain a New Mexico unit. So for those of you who out there who listen to past shows of what happened after the November 24th ISC decision, you know, essentially the ISC agreed to fund some of the non-diversion alternatives, but only for a very small amount. I think when it was all over and done with, it was about 12% of the total cost, on average, 12% of the total cost of all of the non-diversion alternatives. Unfortunately, for projects like ditch improvements, they got a paltry sum, like, you know, $100,000 out of a $1 million project. And many of you out there know that these ditches do not have the resources to rehabilitate their ditches, and $100,000 isn't going to get them much. So it's highly likely that many of these non-diversion projects, even though the ISC allocated funding to them, they will most likely not be implemented and will not use this AWSA funding. Well, here we see in the JPA that all of the signatories basically have to agree that no more money for non-diversion, it's all going to go to diversion. And the problem with that is that New Mexico has a choice under the Arizona Water Settlements Act. We don't have to implement a diversion project. We can fund and implement non-diversion projects. So we're seeing this JPA really tie people's hands on how this funding gets expended. So that's a real concern. And as you said, this is many of the local governments. It's a lot of their projects that they put forward.
We'll talk some more after break, so please stay with us. Welcome back to Earth Matters on KURU 89.1 FM. I'm Donna Stevens, the director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance and your host for today's program. My guest today is Allison Civic, who is my Earth Matters co-host, and she's the executive director of the Gila Resources Information Project and Gila Conservation Coalition. Today we're talking about the latest developments on the saga of the Gila River diversion. So I understand that the Joint Powers Agreement was supposed to be approved by the Interstate Stream Commission at their meeting on May 20th, but there was some big power struggle. So can you talk about those intriguing developments?
Sure. So this was reported pretty well in the Silver City Daily Press by Ben Fisher, who my understanding is he flew up for that meeting. And so essentially what this is coming down to is, who controls the money? It's the money. So we see that the ISC wants to have control over all the money. The ISC is according to the JPA, has to approve the annual operating budget for the New Mexico CAP entity. It holds on to the purse strings in the New Mexico of the New Mexico Unit Fund, so it has to approve all expenditures, and it basically reimburses the CAP entity for any expenditures. But there are also monies that perhaps could come from private investment. And this is what Anthony Gutierrez, the chairman of the Gila San Francisco Water Commission, is concerned about. What if there was a private investor who agreed to invest in this project? Why should the ISC have control over that funding? The locals want control over that funding. And so essentially, they didn't get anywhere. They didn't reach any agreement last week. They extended the deadline. And so now they have to work it all out, and they're going to go back to the ISC, the Interstate Stream Commission, for approval of the JPA on June 9th. And then the local entities that want to sign on have until July 3rd to sign their resolutions or approve their resolutions, which would essentially make them sign on to the JPA. So
the Interstate Stream Commission says that they are a non-voting member, but if they control all the money, they're kind of a voting member.
Yeah, I don't really understand how that really works. They say they're non-voting, but yet they're holding all the control over this. So
right. So
I know I have heard things out here, or I've heard rationales in some of the meetings and sidebar conversations that I've had. Yes, but we have to sign on to the JPA because that's the only way we're going to have some local control over this project.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really? Are we really going to have local control? Really, if you sit down and look at the JPA, you don't have any local control over the what happens here because the ISC is controlling all the money. You can't do anything unless you have the ISC approval on expenditures. So really, you know, you don't have local control. So I don't buy that argument mm-hmm. that this is the only way for the locals to have control. No, I think there are fundamental issues here with this JPA. And I think now that, you know, people are really thinking about it and getting into the meat of it, I think they're starting to realize, yep, that's right. This is the crux of the JPA.
Right.
Who is really controlling this project? And
right. The
way it's written right now, it's not the locals. It's still the Interstate Stream Commission. It's still the state. And they're at the same time trying to say, we're not responsible for paying for this. But yet they have all the control.
Right.
So just,
I wish I could do that in my personal finances.
Sure.
You know? So recently, Craig Repke of the Interstate Stream Commission revealed at a meeting recently that something about a second unit or a diversion on the San Francisco River. So what's that all about?
Gee, I wish I knew. I think it kind of took a lot of people by surprise. Again, the Silver City Daily Press was at that meeting to report that, because I was not at that meeting. But essentially, Craig Repke said that a New Mexico unit to develop the full 14,000 acre feet of water from the Gila River through a Gila River diversion poses serious environmental problems. So in order to fully realize the full amount that New Mexico is legally able to develop from the Gila Basin, then a second unit would be needed on the San Francisco. Well, okay. Number one, that's the first admission that we have heard in all of these years that a Gila River diversion will cause serious environmental problems. For those of you who have been to some of these meetings, the Interstate Stream Commission has actually said that a diversion would improve the habitat for native fish, and that no, we're going to actually increase fish habitat for the endangered loach, minnow, and spike dace. So this is the first admission after all of these years that a Gila River diversion poses serious environmental problems. So that was revelation number one. And revelation number two is that the San Francisco, New Mexico unit would be needed. Now, that has never, it was never included. A New Mexico unit diversion on the San Francisco River was never analyzed as part of the Bureau of Reclamation's appraisal analysis. The Catron County folks had submitted projects for watershed restoration and rehabilitating their ditches, and doing some on-farm storage for their existing water rights, and that's what had been talked about. But they felt like, you know, at that point in time, you know, they just wanted to be able to better utilize their existing water rights, never mind any additional water rights from the AWSA. But none of those projects really are being analyzed or considered here. So it really befuddles me as to, you know, really what the ISC is up to here.
Has a diversion on the San Francisco River, is that included in the description of the New Mexico unit that you were talking about earlier, that's everything but the kitchen sink?
Yeah, it does have a sentence in here that says, under point of diversion, it says, other points of diversion may be considered on tributaries of the Gila River, including the San Francisco River.
Okay.
And there is one sentence in the JPA that does, you know, provide for a New Mexico unit on the San Francisco. But again, back to the funding, we heard a lot of back and forth, a lot of discussion in the Gila San Francisco Water Commission between Catron County folks who said, well, wait a minute, if we sign on to this joint powers agreement, we don't want to pay for a New Mexico unit on the Gila River. And hey, the people in Grant County probably don't want to pay for a New Mexico unit on the San Francisco. So
right. How
does that really work? So,
yes.
So again, you know, potentially they work it out amongst themselves in terms of how to, you know, allocate water and who pays what, but you know, I think it's very risky because, you know, the whole allocation of water and who pays what is approved through a 2/3 majority vote. Well, what if, you know, you don't agree and
you're outnumbered.
That's right. And you're outnumbered. How does that work?
Yes, it does seem like there's starting to be some tension between some of these entities who are realizing, wait a minute, we're going to pay for something and not benefit at all. And speaking of not benefiting at all, who will pay for the so-called exchange costs? First, can you explain what an exchange cost is?
Sure. So the Arizona Water Settlements Act, the only way New Mexico can develop Gila River water under the Arizona Water Settlements Act is if it executes an exchange agreement with downstream water users, the Gila River Indian Community is essentially the who we're exchanging with. So for every drop of every acre foot of Gila River water that we develop here in New Mexico, we have to pay for delivery of that equal amount of water from the Colorado River that flows through the Central Arizona Project and gets delivered to the Gila River Indian Community. So the delivery cost is over $150 an acre foot at this point. So the JPA essentially says that the New Mexico CAP entity is responsible for paying the exchange costs. So that could be, you know, depending upon how much water, it could be $2 million a year if you were to develop the full 14,000 acre feet or take that every year. You'd have to pay that delivery cost. So that's the exchange cost. That's how it works. The only way we can divert here in New Mexico is to pay the Central Arizona Project to deliver that equal amount to the Gila River Indian Community outside Phoenix, downriver on the Gila River.
Because they're senior water rights holders?
Right. They are senior water rights holders. They were here hundreds and hundreds of years before any European Anglo settlement.
And for those downstream users, they get their water, as you said, out of the Colorado River, and we know that the Colorado River does not carry as much water as it used to. So that $150 an acre foot price that you're talking about, that is not a static figure, right? That will go up as there's less water in the river?
Well, it's actually the price is more dependent upon pumping costs, so it's not
okay.
It's not really dependent upon, you know, how much water necessarily. It's based on what's the delivery cost.
Okay.
And so you need to generate power to power the pumps to get that water from the Colorado over to Phoenix. And so that's what's driving those costs.
So,
you know, here's where, you know, the Mojave or one of the power plants over there, now I'm forgetting which one, is linked to, you know, the cap, you know, decommissioning or any kind of pollution controls that are needed at those power plants, you know, really will increase that pumping cost.
Okay.
So that's really what's driving that cost. So it will become, we know it will become more and more expensive to pump that water.
Right. Now we've been hearing recently about leasing the water. So can you talk about that? Who would be leasing this water?
Sure. Well, for years and years and years, the ISC has said that leasing was impossible and it was not legally possible. But we've heard over the last few months at these Gila San Francisco Water Commission meetings that some of the members feel like leasing, like starting to lease the water now, would be a way to generate revenue to over time help fund the New Mexico unit. So there's a lot of interest in leasing. And, you know, who would lease the water? Well, Tink Jackson, Luna County manager, he said at one of the meetings, oh, you know, California, Nevada, they need the water. So, you know, they would be interested in leasing. You know, we've also heard about Freeport-McMoRan potentially wanting to lease this water. That's been brought up. So anyway, so they've changed their minds on the legality of leasing. And, you know, I think the big thing right now is that money would actually go back into the New Mexico Unit Fund, and the ISC has control over that money.
I want to ask you another question about that, but it's time for us to go to a break right now. So let's get back to that when we return. Welcome back to Earth Matters. I'm Donna Stevens, your host for today's show, and we're going to continue talking with Allison Civic, Earth Matters co-producer and the director of GRIP and Gila Conservation Coalition. And we've been talking about the Gila River, a potential diversion on the Gila River, and what's going on recently. Right before the break, we were talking about leasing water. Who could lease water from the Gila River? And I wanted to ask you, if there's no diversion on the Gila, how can anyone lease water? What would be the mechanism that whereby they would get that water somehow?
Right. Right. Well, good question. Remains to be seen who the potential lessees are for that water. But, you know, I think the Freeport-McMoRan issue maybe is easy. The way to get the water to them, say, in Arizona is just keep it in the Gila River and let it flow downstream. But you know, Tink Jackson's comments about California and Nevada leasing it, I mean, I don't know how you'd get it to them. So I have no idea. I don't know if there are other people that want to lease the water. That hasn't been talked about in a public meeting. So I, you know, if there are behind the scenes discussions, they, you know, none of that information has been made public.
So I mean, I don't know if Tink was just being flippant when he said that, but I mean, if the water does go to California or Nevada and then, say, all the counties and eight different agencies who signed on to the JPA, we're all going to be paying for that water and we're going to wreck the Gila River and send the water to California? I mean, how does that benefit us exactly?
Yeah, well, I think I'm not sure that's exactly what they meant by leasing necessarily. I think they're trying to I think the idea is just to lease the water temporarily, realize some profit from that.
Okay.
And but until such time the New Mexico unit can be built. I think that's what they had in mind. But you raise a very good point, like California and Nevada that aren't part of the Gila Basin. I mean, how would they really lease that water physically?
Right.
I mean, unless it's some paper water exchange, I mean, there is no wet water to get to them over there.
Mm-hmm.
So without you know, as you say, as you point out, building some sort of structure. So
right.
I don't understand.
Well, I wanted to get back to the JPA for a minute. And some of these entities that are considering signing on think that they have some kind of an escape hatch. So in the JPA, can they really get out of being part of it once they sign on?
Right. So there was a lot of discussion. Dar Shannon from Hidalgo County Commissioner was very worried. Well, Hidalgo County doesn't want to fund the deficit, and you know, a lot of worry about that. So Pete Domenici Jr., who's the legal counsel for the Gila San Francisco Water Commission, you know, he was trying to add language to kind of soften things, to make things sort of more amenable to the potential signatories. So they added this section to the JPA that says, in the event of withdrawal by a party from this agreement prior to termination of this agreement, the withdrawing party shall be obligated to honor all commitments made to the New Mexico CAP entity before the withdrawing party's withdrawal. Unquote. So you can withdraw, but if you made commitments to paying for anything related to the New Mexico unit, you have to honor those commitments. So is it really an escape hatch? I mean, so what is happening here? Let me just give people a little history. But, you know, back in the late 80s, let's start with the Hooker Dam. The Hooker Dam in the 70s failed. That was the first project to dam the Gila River. It would have been a dam across the river, would have backed up water into the wilderness. That failed. Next was the Conner Dam. That failed for environmental reasons, maybe cost reasons too. The third attempt was something called the Mongoose Diversion, which essentially was a diversion with off-stream storage in Mongoose Creek. The Bureau of Reclamation spent $6 million planning for that project, went to the town of Silver City's mayor, Brandon Beard, I believe the mayor was at the time, and said, okay, Silver City, here's the repayment schedule for the Mongoose Diversion Project. And the mayor looked at it and said, what? Are you kidding me? I'm paraphrasing. I don't really know what he said, but he did say no. He said, this is, you know, this is too expensive. Plus, we don't need this water.
Right.
So he he, after spending all of this money, the town of Silver City did not agree to contract for the water because of the high cost. We're in the same situation now where the Interstate Stream Commission is requiring a commitment at this point. They want people to sign on and commit themselves to the project. The problem is that the difference between the situation back in the 80s with the Mongus diversion is, you know, we don't know what the repayment schedule is at this point. Mm-hmm. The BOR actually had the numbers and presented them to the town of Silver City and said, here's what it's going to cost you. We don't know that right now because guess what? We don't even know what the project is at this point. So
but we're signing on nevertheless.
Right. We're being pushed into signing on without having this fundamental information.
So these entities think they can leave the JPA, but I just flashed on that line from the Hotel California. You can check out, but you can never leave. So, I mean, how will this process unfold in the next few weeks? And how can people get involved in what's going on if they don't like what they've just heard here?
Well, so as we mentioned earlier, the next deadline is June 9th. And the
and that's the Interstate Stream Commission meeting?
That's right. So the local entities here who want to sign on to the CAP entity, who have been involved in the negotiations, they are working with the ISC to get a JPA that people can live with. The mm-hmm. deadline for that is the next ISC meeting on June 9th. It remains to be seen whether or not they can find agreement. Then after that, let's just say hypothetically that they reach agreement, then they have till July 3rd to sign their resolutions, essentially signing on to the JPA. So that means Grant County Commission, Luna County Commission, Hidalgo County Commission, Catron County Commission, all of these local governmental entities are going to be having meetings, are going to be voting on the resolution to sign on to the JPA. So if people are concerned about what they're hearing, they should go to their county commission meetings. They should be talking to their commissioners. They should be talking to their soil and water conservation districts, their ditch associations. Now is the time to have these serious, frank discussions, because people are being asked right now to sign on the bottom line. And as you said, Donna, it's a blank check. And they are committing all of us here in southwestern New Mexico to pay for this $1 billion project. And quite frankly, it's infeasible. It's unaffordable. It's not needed. We have the non-diversion alternatives, conservation, sustainable groundwater use, effluent reuse, all of these things that we can implement and can provide us with a reliable water supply for the future.
And I know we've said this on the show before, but all of those projects can be implemented with the existing funding, and it does not have to be paid back because it's already allocated. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's non-reimbursable funding that was made available to the state of New Mexico under the Arizona Water Settlements Act. And so, as we said before, we have a choice. We don't have to. We are not obligated to move forward with the New Mexico unit. We can use the money to implement non-diversion alternatives. And what's the saying? There ain't no free lunch. Well, in this case, there is a free lunch.
There is a free
lunch.
We
do have this money that we don't have to pay back. So,
right. So we're throwing away the free lunch to buy some incredibly expensive dinner or...
Yeah.
We don't even know what it's going to be.
Right.
Yeah. I'll have to work on that analogy. So if the next ISC meeting is on June 9th and they have to sign the resolutions by July 3rd, we've got roughly three and a half weeks or something in there. And do we know when the meetings, the Grant County Commission meeting, for instance, will be?
No, we don't. We don't. But, you know, they have a regular schedule. But I'm not, you know, it's not posted on their website at this point. But, you know, I encourage people to go talk to their mm-hmm. commissioners, Ron Hall, Brett Kasten, or Gabriel Ramos, and tell them tell them how the, you know, tell your commissioners how you feel about this. And of course, the town of Silver City is not, you know, they're not participating. They're not part of the Gila San Francisco Water Commission. And to the best of my knowledge, they're not signing on to the Joint Powers Agreement either. So,
So if people are on the Gila Conservation Coalition mailing list, they'll get an email telling them when the meeting is, because they might even have to call a special meeting to make this decision.
Perhaps. It's hard to know how this will all unfold, especially since there seems to be so much conflict right now over control of the money. And it remains to be seen that they will, that they'll be able to, you know, work through this fundamental disagreement between the ISC and local governments.
Right. And people can also check the Grant County website to see when the meetings are, because they'll be posted there too.
That's right. I think it's grantcountynm.org, or maybe it's com.
Maybe it's gov. I forget. But one of those. Yeah. You can find it
the
pretty
Grant
easily.
County, Grant County website.
Right? Yeah. Right. So we're really encouraging everybody to get involved in this, because this is a big deal and it's happening right now. And anything else you want to say, Allison? We just have a minute left here.
Yes, just to reiterate what you just said, this is the time. Now is the time. So if you care about this issue related to protecting the Gila River, if you care about your pocketbook and having to pay for a $1 billion project, now is the time to engage and get involved and let your county commissioners, your soil and water conservation districts, your ditches, let them know how you feel.
Okay. And our audio engineer, Kyle Johnson, just looked up the website for you. It's grantcountynm.org. So you can see there when the meeting is scheduled for. Thank you so much, Allison, for speaking with us today on Earth Matters. This is a really big deal. And if you want to see more information on the Gila diversion issue, you can visit GilaConservation.org. Thank you so much, Kyle Johnson, our audio engineer extraordinaire. And we hope you join us again next week for Earth Matters.